retrograde reading for the spring 2015 Mercury retrograde from May the 18th or 19th, depending on your time zone, to the 11th of June. This Mercury retrograde takes place entirely in the sign Gemini. It's been a while since we had one that did that. I think we go back to 2008 for the last Mercury retrograde entirely in Gemini, and the one after that that touched 1 degree of Gemini or so was the following year. Since then, there has not been a Mercury retrograde in this angle of your chart, which for you, Scorpio or Scorpio rising, happens to be the 8th house. The most interesting of the houses, just about. I guess it's kind of a preference what your astrological fetishes are, but the 8th is the house that is typically associated with the sign Scorpio, because Scorpio is the 8th sign, and the 8th house in almost all of the astrological literature picks up on themes that sound very Scorpionic. That includes themes of sex, money, death, reincarnation, intense experiences, edgy type experiences. The oldest lineation of the 8th that we have in the English language comes from William Lilly, and he describes it as death, dowry, and the substance of the bride. Basically, it's about money. Any theme associated with the 8th comes back to the transfer of wealth, and that can include through inheritance or through marriage. And so as the centuries since William Lilly's book have unfolded, that's about 350 years, I think, 16, 17, 18, yeah, about 350 years-ish, we get the theme of joint finances in the 8th house, shared finances. That is to say, sharing a bank account. And the definition of marriage that is from the state of Colorado's marriage laws, which is if two people live together and share a bank account, they are married. According to the state of Colorado, not sure if they've changed that. Usually those laws don't change very fast. They are well-entrenched customs and established by precedent, and tend to be a kind of a standard for that particular state. And I have a rule that I use in my life, which is that if I have sex with someone and they handle my money, we're married. Hence, since I don't want to be married, no one that I have sex with ever handles my money, including in a bookkeeping or accounting role. And the eighth is the house where these two interests merge. Sexual interest and financial interest, creating a form of common law marriage. There does not need to be a marriage certificate, marriage license, marriage ceremony, or anything like that. It is this merging that happens. Now, what's interesting is that you have Gemini here, and so there may be more than one person involved in this merging. There may be more than one theme or issue involved. There may be a kind of a separation of matters, because Gemini can indicate distinct entities or distinct facets of a situation, and those facets may or may not be aware of one another. They may or may not be working in harmony with one another, but they're there. Those facets exist. And with this Mercury retrograde, I think that it is absolutely essential that you be careful with all forms of shared finances. That includes any form of investment. It includes any form of mergers of some kind, and it especially involves contractual affairs, because this is happening in the house where there is the all of the topics that are contractual in nature show up in the 8th house. And since the 8th house also has kind of dominion over all themes around sex, or at least very specific set of themes, the, in many ways, the most compelling sex that people can have, the sex that seems inevitable, the sex that seems like it is driven by some force that we don't understand. That kind of sex, that's the one that is the most compelling. And so there's this kind of commingling of all these affairs. Also, your ruling planet Mars, not Pluto, but Mars, is in the eighth house through this entire Mercury retrograde process. The prudent astrological guidance would say, which I will give you, is to be very cautious about what you sign, about what you commit to, and to be particularly careful about what you commit to that you don't know that you're committing to. One of the jokes I make about marriage is that people sign the marriage contract and it's a one-page contract, but what they don't realize is that they're signing the entire law library. Because basically everything is influenced by that marriage contract. Every facet of law is influenced by the marriage contract, if only by marital privilege, that there's this thing called privilege in marriage. And for example, you don't have to testify against your wife. I'm not sure if that can be pierced, or you can be, you know, there's situations where you can. But in any event, suffice it to say, the joke is true enough that when one enters into the marital contract, that there are thousands and thousands and thousands of books and pages and case law that are all invoked. And you might think, well, that's not very romantic. I assure you, there's nothing romantic about the eighth house. The eighth house is all nuts, bolts, and business. The eighth house is about the consequences of any particular merger. It's about the results of the involvement between people, and that involvement very often is some morph of sex and money, and we see the ways in which those things go, typically. So I would urge caution around anything with this, and that includes situations that you're currently in. It would be, for example, very easy for you to get mixed up in some financial complication of a lover or partner or spouse, and you want to be careful about that, particularly over the course of the next 5 or 6 weeks as this Mercury retrograde is working itself out. Now, part of the reason that I think this retrograde is more complex than it may seem is because the whole scenario is square Neptune. Neptune is in Pisces. It is a new addition to Pisces. It only arrived in Pisces around 2012. It's going to be there for about 15 years or so. And so it is a new factor. And therefore, everything that happens, for example, Mercury retrograde in Gemini, is happening as if for the first time because there's this new factor involved, the factor of Neptune in Pisces, plus other things in Pisces that were not there the last time there was a Mercury retrograde in Gemini. Those include Chiron. Borysici might have been there. Nessus certainly was not there. Vesta wasn't there. So now we've got a lot of planets in Pisces. And this adds depth to this Mercury retrograde. It adds, in addition, the factor of, wow, I didn't know that's what was happening. I didn't know that's what I was signing. I didn't understand that agreement. I didn't understand that contract. I didn't understand the nature of that problem. And so what I would suggest is that for whatever may arise, whether it's an opportunity, whether it's a situation, whether it's an authentic problem, of which there are some, that that you really take this Mercury retrograde phase and study the particulars. You don't need to be optimistic. You don't need to be especially skeptical. What you need to do is to be factual and to get clear about what this thing is, what this situation is, what this agreement is, what this proposal is, and what, for example, even your own idea that you are sharing with someone, what that is. The eighth, in your case, is associated with Gemini. And so Gemini refers to a number of different things, one of them being that there's two sides of the story. Now, that's a reference to twins, and the thing with Gemini is that those twins can be triplets or quads or quints or something like this. So there's more than one, start with two being more than one, but sometimes there's lots of different possibilities and lots of different facets, and different people will bring multiple facets of their own. And so this is all calling for some sorting through and like looking around back for the thing that you didn't see. Looking at the other side of the page, or if the fax transmission was cut off, what do the rest of the pages say, and so forth. Who are people associated with? That is an important factor of the eighth house. What is the family scenario? Because the eighth house involves the merger of families, for example, through dowry, right? Dowry is, in Western culture, a man marries a woman and is given a kind of a payoff by the father or the grandfather for the upkeep of the woman. Now, we don't do this so much anymore. I'm sure it happens in some places, but we don't really do this so much anymore. But the metaphor stands in terms of the merger of families and also this bizarre tendency to purchase a human being. And so those things still have implications. And so in doing anything, you want to know where the in-laws stand on this. You might not want to make that especially obvious, but you're likely to make some discoveries about that whole sense of other and its various networks, its various associations through, for example, business affiliations, in-laws, business investments, and all that, and to see where this goes. Additionally, there is this matter of taxation of the eighth house, and I would say be very careful about that. There's not a lot of tax forms that necessarily need to be filed. This would be, I guess, in the months of May and June, but there are different, levels of that game, and different companies have different requirements. And I would say even in the most routine filings, routine filings of any form of regulatory documents, of taxation documents, of reporting, of anything, insurance policies would be covered by the eighth house. Make sure that all is in order. If you get this hankering to check in on, is that insurance policy really in effect, or is it really cover the things I needed to cover? Check the policy. Check with your agent. Investigate. Get the facts. Know that your potentially sort of like lingering concern about something is not necessarily paranoia, and it doesn't necessarily mean that something is actually in fact wrong. But what it can mean is that you just need to get your facts straight. Now, on a more mundane level, in a recent Planet Waves a couple of weeks ago, I commented on financial literacy. And I would repeat that comment, which is that while we are subjected to 12 years of mathematics in high school and primary school and secondary school and probably even kindergarten and tutoring, and we're made to take Regents exams and all this, how much of that really covers financial literacy? When do we actually get lessons in applied mathematics and what to actually do with math? How to read a bank statement? How to verify whether something is right? I would say none. I can't imagine, I'm thinking back through my entire education, one discussion of actual applied mathematics, of financial literacy. In one economics class, we had to make up a family budget. That was kind of a, very basic exercise. But really, there is a profound need for financial literacy. And I would suggest that you take this opportunity to improve your level of financial literacy, to actually understand the financial instruments that you may possess, may buy, to understand the investments that you might have, and even to understand basic things like credit card statements and phone bills? And what are all those things listed on your cell phone bill? And do you really have the right cell phone plan? And I would categorize all of this under the general heading of financial literacy. But then with the eighth house, there is also this question of sexual literacy. And what I'm noticing, especially having spent some time talking to millennials in the process of doing the millennials reading, is that society right now is in an abysmal state of sexual literacy, and it was far worse. Well, the internet has made things far worse. They were not good to begin with. The state of accurate, true information, or true enough information, useful information, how about that, was pretty bad before the internet came along and basically porno became the substitute for sex education. And one thing that this Mercury retrograde in Gemini is saying is raise the level of your sexual literacy. Find decent, interesting books. Well, decent's kind of a funny word to use for sexual literacy, but by decent I mean high quality books that actually tell you what you need to know, and recognize that there may be gaps in your understanding. Now, that's kind of a funny thing to say to a Scorpio, but it is what the astrology is saying. It's saying look for the potentially very large gaps in your understanding of sex and sexuality and sexual identity. Identity meaning one's actual sexual orientation, whether it's yourself or that of your partner. The presence of Gemini on the eighth house presents you with a very interesting situation. I would say that it is part of why Scorpios are so sexually interesting, is the presence of Gemini on the house that is associated with Scorpio in your chart, the eighth house. That, by the way, is not a strict association. There are other possibilities, but it really does work pretty well most of the time. And the important thing about having Gemini on this house is recognizing that both you and your partners have many facets to your sexuality. And try as you may to hold everyone to one side of one story, or to hold yourself to one side of one story, or to get entrenched and kind of buckle down into one point of view, whether that be a relational orientation, a sexual orientation, an expectation of how the world is supposed to be, or how people are supposed to be, there are other possibilities, and you may be discovering those other possibilities through the course of this Mercury retrograde, particularly with your ruling planet Mars moving through Gemini in your eighth house at the same time, meaning you are directly involved. Now, the thing to do here is to look for the deeper truth, to go beyond the what you might think of as the surface layer truth, and consider the deeper picture, the deeper story, and seek that psychological understanding for which you are so well known and gifted, which is so fascinating to you. And instead of theorizing, instead of speculating, seek to understand where people are coming from. I know that a lot of Scorpio psychologizing exists in the realm of theory. And what I suggest that this new phase of Scorpio psychologizing be is a form of direct conversation with people who are influenced, people who are directly involved, rather than guessing, rather than going based on some past situation. Not only do I suggest you ask people, including those with whom you're the most intimate, but expect there to reasonably be something a bit different than you thought there was. Go deeper into the story and give people room to be different. One example is that I am pretty sure that in most hetero couples that the bisexual tendencies of either of the partners are not generally something that is openly spoken of, discussed, or where understanding is sought. It would do way too much to shake up the apple cart, were that the case. And though there are some couples where there is honest discussion, there are many, I would say the vast majority, where subjects are handled in a cursory way, or where there is a complete state of denial about what is going on. And I don't think that those two things are very different. I think that the cursory handling of things without the indulgence and vulnerability and some sense of risk is a form of denial. And you may not think that you're in denial, and I'm not really accusing you of that, but I'm saying that with Mars square Neptune and Mercury retrograde square Neptune, that phrase square Neptune being astrologically synonymous with denial, deception, or blind spot, that you look in those blind spots. You actually, you know, turn your head around and not just look in the side view mirror or the rear view mirror, but you actually look directly at the lane next to yours, that you look directly at the person next to you, and perhaps closer to the point that you look within and be willing to and daring enough to reveal your own inner sexual and relational truth. Everything about this astrology is saying that there is a complex scenario and there's more to the picture than meets the eye, and that the path to intimacy, to sanity, to relating, to understanding one another, to understanding even the people who are the very closest to you, is going to be through basically being conversant, Gemini, being literate, and communicating in an informed and enlightened way. And though this may be confusing at times, and there is a kind of a peak of questioning and confusing that happens the last week of May, I would say approximately in effect from about the 25th through the 30th, that you slow down the movie and that you slow down the conversation. And this is it's not the kind of thing that is going to happen in one go, in one evening, though there may certainly be some very interesting conversations in that time, and that you not judge what you hear, what you say, what you feel, or what you discover about people, but rather do your best to just let that kind of be what it is for a while and notice how you feel about it. That is also going to come out in layers. And you don't need to be scared of your doubts. You don't need to flaunt them. It's more a matter of having a healthy, let's say, consensual relationship with your doubts. And by the way, since I've mentioned the word consensual, I will just end on that note, which is that the combination of factors, retrograde Mercury plus Mars plus Neptune plus your eighth house, could very easily be a perfect sketch of the question of intent and the question of consent. So what is your intention? What is the intention of somebody you're with? And when do you get to that point where you really say, yes, I'm doing this with direct consent? Most of the time, people don't even come near that concept. They're so far from it that it's almost like a speck in the distance. And what you are being drawn into is a situation where intent and consent are really the most important operative factors that there are. So know your yes and your no. Know what you want and seek to understand where you are coming from and where people are coming from. And this will be a Mercury retrograde where you learn a lifetime of information about yourself and your tendencies in your intimate partnerships. If you are Scorpio Sun, please do look up your rising sign and check that. For your rising sign, you need your time of birth as best you can get it. Go to astro.com, get a free account there, sign up for that, and put your data in. Make sure that the location is correct, time zone is right, and then look up your rising sign in this reading and see what that has to say to you. All right. I will talk to you during the Talk to Me session. We'll see when we can set that up for, probably during the first week of the retrograde. And so check your email for that notification. That's the conference call. Call-in discussion where I'll be fielding your ideas, thoughts, and questions about this Mercury retrograde. And thank you for taking advantage of the work that I do. It is a privilege to do it. Okay. Bye for now.